America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy daybeds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com. It is Sam and Greg. It is a Sunday morning. It's the sixth day of October. Good morning, Georgia.
Morning.
You like that? I had that
one.
Yeah,
man. What you
doing? We only got 3 hours, so I got to, you know, get it worked out there. And a good morning, happy October to all you beautiful people up in Kennesaw.
Up in Kennesaw.
Did you mention Kennesaw in
Kennesaw.
Your local stuff?
Yeah,
there?
I did. They played Friday night game over there. They played Jacksonville State from Alabama. They're still looking for their first win.
Hmm.
They're in a new conference.
They're struggling this year.
They're struggling. But Coach said they're going through a transition. But, you know, it's college football.
Happy birthday to Tony Dungy.
Coach.
Coach is 69 years old today.
Is he?
69. Rebecca Lobo.
Okay.
Happy birthday. And we still haven't heard, and we will, I'm sure, before we get out of here, Noel's thoughts on the WNBA and what's going on with them. And one of the greatest names in sports, played for the Red Sox forever, just a dude who, at least for me, I would like to, you know, walk up and I just unexpectedly see him at a bar and just have a drink with him. Dennis Oil Can Boyd.
Yeah, man.
You remember that?
Oh, yeah, man.
Oil Can Boyd.
Yeah, yeah.
Love that name.
Yeah. HBCU product, I think, Jackson State.
Happy birthday. And also, today was the day of the first retirement of Mr. Jordan. Today was the day that Michael, 93, said, I quit and went to play baseball. And March of 2 years later, just about, 95, came back. Would have kept playing, except they tried to use him for that baseball strike. Baseball was on strike, you remember, and they wanted Jordan to cross the lines, and he wouldn't. And so he says, "I'm gonna go play basketball."
Well, he picks where he speaks up because he's speaking up something with NASCAR, and that's down the road at Talladega today, right?
Yep.
Sure, he'll be over there. We talk college football all the time, and we talk some today. And this is an amazing Sunday morning to talk college football after what has transpired
really?
Yesterday. Mike McMackin is someone I've known for some time and worked together with, former coworker, and is a friend, and he's put pad to. Pencil to paper about his journey covering college football, and especially from his alma mater perspective. And he joins us now on the WaitForIt.com hotline. Gridiron Journeys, How I Fell in Love with College Football. Mike, welcome to Weekend Morning
Mike,
with
morning.
Sammy Greg. Greg.
Good morning, guys. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. I'll let you.
Well, I'll throw in one thing real quick. You're talking about Jordan. Not only my gridiron journey is about college football, I was working in Birmingham the year Jordan was over there playing baseball. So saw him playing golf a few times and obviously was at the old Hoover Met with the Jordan Cruiser and all that. That was an exciting season, too.
What was that like getting credentials to anything if you were there? Because it probably went from the griddle to 20 below as far as when he showed up.
Well, since we were there and we covered the Barons real heavily anyway, our station, I mean, even without Jordan, we were there a lot of nights during the summer. You know, it's kind of the slow time and stuff. But it was interesting, all the national media and other people from out of town that came in and you know, just to get a glimpse of the circus.
I'm sure. Spending time on the WaitForIt.com hotline with Mike McMackin, sharing some memories of Birmingham and minor league baseball, but also about college football. And having worked in Alabama and Georgia, I guess you've had a unique perspective of this sport. What's your impressions, I guess, especially seeing those two teams go at it last week? I'm sure that rekindled some memories for you, too.
Yeah, just a lot of interesting things that I've been exposed to. One of the chapters in the book is the 89 Iron Bowl game when Alabama made the first trip ever to play at Auburn, which I guess now it's been, you know, 35 years, but it's hard to believe that it was that recent but until Alabama would come and play a game at Auburn. Also had the another chapter in there was when Alabama beat Miami in the Sugar Bowl after the 92 season, and Alabama was kind of the good guys back then. Miami were the bad guys, and everybody was cheered for Alabama, and that kind of kicked off a run of SEC teams winning national championships, and obviously Alabama had a lot of those. But those games are in there, and then you mentioned my alma mater, Appalachian State, obviously a lot of chapters in there about it. The Michigan win, obviously, beating the two North and South Carolina in 2019, the story of how we made the move from FCS to FBS, and then the crazy first 3 weeks of the season we had in 2022, beating or having North Carolina come to Boone. We lost that crazy game, then go and beat Texas A&M, host game day, and have to rely on a Hail Mary to beat Troy that day was an exciting 3 weeks for the university.
Hey, Mike, talk about some of the coaches who have stayed with you, stories that you heard, just being around their presence. Now, I'm not talking about the great ones. Maybe it's maybe a lesser-known one, but who are some of the coaches and some of the stories and experiences that you that can remember?
Well, one mentioned in that 92 Alabama team was Gene Stallings. He came in, replaced Bill Curry. He was a Bear legend, a Bear protege, played for Bear at Texas A&M, was one of the Junction boys that they had. Came in and really hadn't had that much success as a coach. He had coached the Cardinals and had coached Texas A&M briefly, but was best known kind of as an assistant for Tom Landry with the Cowboys, and came in and got off to a rough start. They lost their first three games in 1990, but 3 years later, they had won the national championship, and just a great man. And Ray Mellick, who was a beat writer for Alabama then, and I interviewed him in the book, and he said that Coach Stallings was the only coach who never lied to him. He said, like, if Ray asked him a question and he couldn't answer it honestly, he'd say, Ray, I can't answer that. And, you know, that just kind of emphasized to me the feeling that I had of just what a good man he was. He cared about his players, was honest, and worked real well with the media. And that was just something that really stuck with me. And when I was back down at A&M for the game in 2022, it was nice to see that there's a street named for him right outside of Kyle Field, and there were several kind of references to him, and it was nice to see him being remembered by his alma mater like that.
Yeah, well, spending time on the WaitForIt.com outline, Mike McMackin, and the name of the book is Gridiron Journeys, How I Fell in Love with College Football, and it's because of your journey, and I parallel with your journey some, and we worked together and cover a lot of great college football. You write this, you're coming on to talk with us about this at a time when there's, you know, a struggle up at your alma mater because of the storm that came through and some of the damage. They haven't played a game there. They played on the road yesterday. Their next home game is scheduled to be their game against Georgia State. And that's a little bit of a question, but that is on the schedule now. And talk about what you know from up that way. Have you been up that way and to see and how they're trying to recover?
No, Sam, I haven't been up there. I was actually had drove up on Thursday last week. I was planning on our game last weekend was canceled against Liberty, obviously, and I was going up there. I had was some stuff I was going to do to promote the book, and was going to get up there a little early, and just ended up staying in Charlotte. I didn't want to get up there until we kind of knew what was going to happen, and they'd had so much rain even before Helene came up there. That's one reason that everything's so bad. And I guess it was Monday morning, or I'm sorry, Friday morning in Charlotte, they announced the game was going to be canceled, and so I ended up. My mom's in Charlotte, so spent the Friday night with her and then drove back to Atlanta the next day. And they're actually telling people to stay away, that if you are bringing up a truck of supplies or something, which a lot of people have done, but they're saying, like, drop it off and go back down the mountain, that there's just that area, there's just, you know, the infrastructure there's not a lot of roads, and it's easy to get congested. And with people trying to restore power, cell service, delivering supplies, things like that, repairing roads and bridges, that with all that, they're kind of urging people to stay away. And I think it's going to be very doubtful, especially that game at the end of the month, that Boone could handle the 30,000 plus people that are going to, you know, that come into Boone on an app football Saturday.
What is that place like? I keep hearing Boone. And I know it's there, but I've never been there. Mm-hmm. What's that community like? What's that area like up there where that university is?
Well, it's geographically and, you know, naturally it's beautiful, with surrounded by the mountains, and the drive up there, whether you come through Blowing Rock or through Wilkesboro and up through Deep Gap, there's just you know, magnificent views in the fall with the colors and everything. And one of the chapters I did in the book is kind of traced how Appalachian, as when I was a student in the early 80s, there was really no tailgating or anything to count on. I mean, it just wasn't a tailgate situation, and how that's evolved. We had a university chancellor, Dr. Ken Peacock, who took over right about the time Charlie Cobb became athletic director. And Dr. Peacock had a vision to get alumni involved on Saturday afternoons and get them to campus and get them enjoying things. And that would increase the alumni involvement in all areas in the university. And it's done that. Like, all of a sudden we had 20,000 people for a game to open the 2005 season, coming off a 500 record. And then it's just built up and built up. We had 36,000 people for our opener against Gardner Webb last year, and Gardner Webb's not bringing any fans. Those are Appalachian fans coming up there. And it's just become such a great experience, and it's just built and built and built. And it's been interesting to be able to observe that firsthand. And those are some of the things I talk about in the book.
Yeah, it's a great experience, unless you have to stand out there when there's snow falling, Greg. I've had to stand out there in the snow for a game. And by the fourth quarter, I couldn't feel my feet, and Georgia State was getting beaten badly. So yeah.
Well, the Georgia State coach called three straight timeouts to try and ice the Appalachian kicker, and then they faked the field goal and scored a touchdown.
And then we all got iced instead. We knew we were in trouble. I mean, there was a big snow that week. We get there, the team gets off the bus. The App State guys come out for pregame warm-up with no shirts on. And I'm like, whoa. At that time, Georgia State was playing their home games in the Georgia Dome. So here's a team that's playing inside, coming up. These guys are running around with no shirts on in the snow, man. Oh, it was a miserable day.
I'm just curious about what Mike thinks about the nature of college football now. I mean, you wrote this book and talking about your journeys, but if you were to start a book, say, like a year or so ago, with the changing face and the conferences of college football, what are your thoughts on it now?
You know, I'm a big traditionalist, and one of the things, like, you know, all my journeys, I appreciate the different traditions and everything that all the different schools have, and going and experiencing those. And the rivalries, the traditional rivalries, are something that are important to me, and I think to the fans. And with the realignment and all this, you're starting to lose some of these games. You know, Georgia and Auburn may not play every year now. Alabama and Tennessee may not play every year. And that's a shame. The player movement is a little tough, because it's nice to see these guys come in and see them develop on your team and as you pull for them and to have success. So the player movement, well, I understand all that, but it's a little, sometimes it's just a little hard from a fan that there's somebody you really like and they leave for, you know, for whatever reason. And it's, and you have to get used to a whole new team every year. It's just a little frustrating at times, but you know, yesterday was a day of why we love it, because there's no telling what's going to happen. You know, Alabama beating or losing to Vandy, and just like Appalachian State beat Michigan. So you just never know what's going to happen with college football. And that's why we love it so much.
How can people get the book? It sounds like a great read, especially for someone who's a college football fan this time of year. Holidays are coming up. This might be nice stocking stuffer. Tell people how people can get it.
Well, it's available on Amazon. You can just go to Amazon and search Gridiron Journeys as an ebook. Hopefully soon I'm going to have some paperbacks available on there as well. But Gridiron Journeys, and search for that on Amazon, and the ebook's available.
All right. Fantastic.
Yeah.
Mac, always good hearing from you. Good catching up with you. I can't wait to give it a read and recommend it to some friends. And thanks so much for spending
Hey, makes a good stocking stuffer, wouldn't you say?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Thanks so much for the
time. Thanks for having me, guys.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah, so we got to tag with things like that. We start promoting things going.
This time of year.
Makes a great stocking stuffer.
Absolutely.
You get a guy out here talking about motorcycles, makes a great stocking stuffer.
I don't know about the motorcycle.
Whatever it is. Our friend Miles Garrett. He was out at the Georgia game yesterday. He's going to join us next. Sam and Greg, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sports book on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off. It's better
over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device credit service ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
This show is sponsored by Midi Health. There are great things that come with age. Wisdom, experience, and knowledge, just to name a few. But if you're a woman over 40, it can also bring some less desirable things like hot flashes, insomnia, brain fog, moodiness, and weight gain, all symptoms of menopause and perimenopause. Yes, hormonal transition is a fact of life, but that doesn't mean you have to accept its symptoms as just another part of aging. Midi clinicians are menopause experts, equipped to support you with safe, effective, FDA-approved medications, as well as supplements, lifestyle coaching, and preventative health guidance. You'll come out of the experience feeling heard and with a plan to start feeling better. Midi offers accessible care, All their services are covered by insurance, and they're conveniently accessible through telehealth visits and 24/7 messaging. You deserve to feel great. Book your virtual visit today at joinmidi.com. That's joinmidi.com.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com. It's Sam and Greg on this Sunday morning, 6th day of October. Got a heavy heart, Sam. You know how I feel about this dude. Two years ago today, we lost Eddie Van Halen. So, want to make sure.
Wow.
Yeah, I know, right?
Yeah.
2 years ago. There's these pictures of, there's one, the cartoon that hits me immediately is the one that came out shortly after his passing. And it was got the pearly gates and standing outside the pearly gates with his guitar, holding it upside down because he played left-handed, was Jimi Hendrix. And he sits, and the cashier says, "I've been waiting 50 years for you to jam with you. Let's go." And yeah, wow. I love that. I love that. So yeah, lost Eddie on this day. I tell you also we lost on this day. Connie Hawkins.
Okay.
And Buck O'Neill.
Oh, man.
Was there a bigger person responsible for the Negro Museum, or at least bringing it to prominence, than Buck O'Neill?
No, he was the face of it for so long, and just giving information and coming on late. He gave him a late night TV star.
Oh yeah,
yeah, he was on late night shows.
Anyway, Sam and Greg, like I said, here we are here till 9:15. Normally we get on out of here at 9 because Falcons got a 1 o'clock kickoff. We know that's not the case today, but we got to sit and watch the Jets and the Vikings get things started on this NFL Sunday. And I don't know how you feel about either one of those teams. It's Aaron Rodgers, and you know how I feel about him. So as far as I'm concerned, the dude is still a Packer. But let's go back to what happened yesterday between the hedges.
Yeah.
And bring on Myles Garrett, Fox 5. Good morning, buddy.
Good morning, guys. How are y'all doing?
We are doing fine. You have had sparks coming off your heels these last few weeks. So I appreciate you giving us a little bit of time.
Yeah, absolutely. No, it's been a long week. Started off in San Diego, ended it in Mercedes-Benz, finished it in Sanford Stadium. So we were all over the place.
Do we ask him about, because we've touched on the Braves in the end of their season.
Okay, go ahead.
You want to ask him about that?
Sure.
Well, your thoughts on, man, it's now a done deal. What was it like out there at San Diego? And just your thoughts on how the Braves season ended. You were there.
Yeah, you know, it was tough because, I mean, this is a season where the Braves, you know, probably shouldn't have been in the playoffs with all things considered, with all the injuries and how everything finished out for this team, especially losing Chris Sale there at the end when you're not expecting to lose Chris Sale. Kind of came as a surprise to a lot of Braves fans. But, I mean, I think it was really an accomplishment in and of itself. They actually got there in the first place. But, yeah, I mean, I think it's just going to be a season marked by, you know, what could have been if all these guys did not get hurt. And, you know, obviously – the uncertainty of Max Fried looms ahead, especially with, you know, Charlie Morton as well. There's going to be some departures here. So certainly a tough season, but they're going to have a lot of talent back next year. So that's certainly a reason to be optimistic.
We talked about this earlier. I said with given who's coming back on this team and knowing what this team can be, despite the fact that you might lose somebody, a couple people from the staff, this is an attractive landing spot for free agents. So I like the chances of getting somebody, a replacement, if you lose – those two names. But again, Myles Garrett, Fox 5, joining Sam and Greg here, Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com. All right, you went from that. You got to be in Tuscaloosa for the big game. But talk about being in Athens yesterday, the game after the game, and what that was like.
Yeah, no, it was good. It was good. I think that was a game, and it was actually pretty funny because for the first time, we heard Kirby Smart call out the Georgia fans for not providing a home field advantage. He was actually kind of a little upset at the Georgia fans. I don't think I've ever heard him kind of say that before. He mentioned that in our one-on-one, and he mentioned it at the end of his press conference yesterday. But, you know, all things considered, it was a pretty balanced day for the Georgia team, especially on offense. You know, really efficient day from Carson Beck. You get Trevor Etienne going a little bit, Nate Frazier. We haven't really seen him since that first game against Clemson. He has a pretty good game himself. But, yeah, it was a pretty balanced day overall for Georgia. It was a game they should have won comfortably. They did win it comfortably. A win that you, I'd say, needed to kind of get back under your feet after the ups and downs of that Alabama game. And, you know, they're probably going to have a comeback game themselves after losing to Vanderbilt.
Let me ask you something about that, Miles. And, you know, my thoughts are this. Vanderbilt saw something in Georgia's second half comeback last week. And maybe that's what they use, because they were able to exploit a lot of things with Alabama's defense last night. I know they run a different kind of attack, and the quarterback that comes, you know, he runs that offense extremely well. But these dudes lost to Georgia State, man. And so I'm like, what? And I'm not saying Georgia State's bad, but I mean these guys lost the game here in town to Georgia State, and here they are beating Alabama. Do you think that, you know, Carson Beck and the Georgia offense exposed something with that second half comeback?
I don't know if it was an exposure thing or not, because I mean, let's look at it from a pure talent perspective, right? I mean, this is a game that Alabama should have absolutely breezed through. I think maybe there's an element of overlooking Vanderbilt. I think that was very much at play there. But you're right. I do think that, you know, there was some tape to study in that second half of what Georgia did. Now, I think there is also an element there of tiredness that happened in that Georgia game, because, you know, it was a long game. It was a lot of back and forth. I think maybe the Alabama defense got tuckered out a little bit there. I think the Georgia defense did as well toward the very end. But yeah, I mean, the secondary, you know, had its ups and downs, but, you know, Ryan Williams can't be making plays every single game, a 17-year-old. And I think he was the X factor in that Georgia game. He was kind of, I'll have to look at the final stats, but I think he was held relatively in check, against Vanderbilt yesterday, or at least scored, when it mattered most. I'll have to look at it again.
He scored a couple of times yesterday.
He did? Okay, maybe it wasn't. I was too busy covering Georgia, but I digress. I do think they're, you know, showing that they're not as invincible, perhaps, as when Nick Saban was there on the sideline. So some things to consider there.
You know, the thing, if it were anybody else, Sam, and Miles too, next week would be the game that if it were anybody else, we'd say, they're looking past Mississippi State, getting ready for that big matchup with Texas. But I think that Kirby, and there's only a few of these coaches, can keep these guys focused on doing what they need to do. Are you feeling pretty good about – I know it's around the corner as far as that Texas game, and it's going to be on it's going to be on the road. But Mississippi State coming in here next week, what are you looking to see them do?
Yeah, I mean, you're right. I don't think this is going to be a game where, you know, they're going to breeze through it. Like, you know, you said you hit the nail right on the head. Kirby Smart is one of those coaches that basically always has his team prepared no matter who the opponent is, especially now after seeing all the upsets that happened yesterday. I think everyone else is going to be on high alert this week. And I think they're going to have a little bit more of a home field advantage, especially after Kirby called out the fans there. But yeah, no, I want to see that efficiency continue. I think Carson Beck needs to have himself a pretty good game to kind of get back on track before that Texas game, obviously. You know, you want to see the rushing attack continue its dominance. That it's not dominance, but it's an efficient day, I guess you could call it. But I want to see a little bit better things coming from Colby Young. You know, he kind of had a tough finish there against Alabama. I want to see him play like he's 6'4". I mean, I think there's some element to him kind of playing a little bit smaller than he is, because, you know, he's a big body, and I think you want to see him use that a little bit more. So I kind of want to see a lot more of those offensive guys get involved. London Humphreys has been kind of quiet since that Clemson game. I'd like to see him get more involved in this offense. So I think just spreading the ball out, because, as you said, you know, it's a game the Dogs should win and should win very comfortably. I think it's going to be important for them to kind of have that comfort going into a game like Texas.
Yep. Spending time on the waitfor.com hotline with Miles Garrett. He is social. You can find him at Miles Garrett TV at Miles Garrett TV, host of Bulldogs Final. And he's kind enough to join us and spend some time with us. What does it say about this conference? You know, I mean, we had it all figured out, and after last Saturday night, everyone was saying, well, you know, it's Alabama and Georgia. You know they're going to play again. They could end up playing three times. And now Alabama's got a loss, and now Texas is, like, sitting out there. It's like, I mean, Tennessee had been undefeated. Missouri, were they exposed yesterday? My goodness, with Texas A&M beating them the way they did. What do you say about this league, man?
Well, I think Nick Saban kind of broke college football, in my opinion, because for so long, and I think Georgia is starting to take up this mantelpiece a little bit, is that there's no easy wins in the SEC, man. I think Nick Saban just made it look so easy for so long. Because, I mean, we have a pretty quick memory, I think, because you go back to the Mark Richt days. Mark Richt was a very good coach. But Georgia would lose some of these games from time to time. You know, they'd finish with two losses, three losses, sometimes four losses, because all these teams in the SEC, in any given week, it's really just the aspect of college football. You can lose. It's not always a given that you're going to win these, you know, quote-unquote cupcake games. So I think it says a lot to say about the league. I don't think it's necessarily changed. I think you've gotten a lot of depth here now. I mean, maybe you could credit that to the transfer portal, NIL, a lot of these kind of lower-tier teams, you could call them, are a little bit better now. Teams like Kentucky and Ole Miss is a lot better now. So I'd credit it more to that than anything. But, yeah, I think we really did underappreciate the greatness of Nick Saban, because he made those cupcake games look like it was just business as usual, when they really aren't as easy as it may look out there.
We might as well look at the Nick Saban coaching days much like we look at the NBA when they could do hand-checking. It's a completely different league.
Yeah.
I mean, when you think about it, because you always talk about, well, this player could play in this era and so on and so forth. Well, you had pre-transfer portal and post-transfer portal. That's what we got right now in college football.
Yeah.
And my question to Miles is, I want to get back to Georgia for a second. Why am I looking at Carson Beck from time to time and seeing a guy who looks like deer in the headlights? I mean, just to me, at times, the eyeball test looks like he's not the seasoned quarterback you hear he's supposed to be. Is that a fair assessment?
I don't know if it's fair, because I think last year he proved that he can be that guy. I do think there is an element of, you know, the loss of the offensive linemen this year, especially Tate Ratledge, at least the last couple of weeks. Georgia's going to get some of those guys back. The offensive line did have a pretty good game, but, you know, you got to look at it from who he's lost, right? I mean, obviously, he had a great offensive weapons, right? He had Ladd McConkey. He had Brock Bowers. This year, he's got a fresh new set of receivers. A lot of them all transfer portal
guys.
Throw
the ball out of bounds then. Don't sit there and hold it forever. I just see a guy who just didn't seem like he played with this team last year at times. Not all the time. I'm just surprised. It you know, the well-oiled Kirby Smart machine on offense, yes, I realize this guy's gone, but that position seems to have, from time to time, looked like he just kind of got there and the playbook landed in his lap, you know, just before kickoff. Again, it's probably not fair, but maybe I'm holding him to higher expectations, but that's what I'm seeing.
Yeah, no, and I think that is pretty fair, because he hasn't played like he did last year. And you're right, there have been some plays where, you know, you're kind of scratching your head, like, what was that, Carson? You know, especially against Alabama in that first half, I think that probably got exposed a lot more than usual. But yeah, I mean, that's why I said, you know, you need to have a big game here against Mississippi State to kind of get back on track and prepare for a game like Texas, because, you know, if Carson Beck goes out there and has a great game against Texas, we're having a completely different conversation now, because he is back to being that guy, arguably one of the top five quarterbacks in all of college football again. So it changes really fast week to week, Greg. And I'm sure, you know, we could have that conversation again here in a couple weeks. Maybe he has regressed, or maybe he's improved. So it's pretty tough in college football in the SEC.
Well, it'll be about that or something else, but we want you back here in a couple weeks, maybe even next week. Thank you, as always, Miles.
Thanks, Miles.
Absolutely, guys. You guys have a great rest of your weekend.
There you go. Broadcaster and actor, Miles Garrett. From Fox 5.
Touches all the bases.
Yeah, he does. Got that look about him there, that little twinkle in his eye there. But that's all right. We're not going for the same roles. Listen, we're here till 9:15. So instead of taking this next segment to talk about the upcoming matchups of the day, we got something else for you. Sam and Greg, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com. It is Sam and Greg on this Sunday morning. It's the 6th of October. Thank you for letting us be a part of your Sunday mornings. Mr. Crenshaw will be back next Friday night with the high school scoreboard show. Him and the coach, Chris Parker. And then he'll be back with me on Sunday. Noel is doing a great job back there. Throwing some George Michael.
Yeah,
who, this song hit number one today.
Ah.
Faith. And he, George Michael, among other things, he is the first, or was the first, to do carpool karaoke.
Ah.
Did you know that?
Okay.
Okay, well, I know it's insignificant information, but it actually started when James Corden, before he even came over here to do that show.
He was already doing it.
He did it for, I think it was Comic Relief in England, and did one with George Michael. And
okay.
Yeah, they said it all started off there.
Yeah.
George Michael wanted to go with him. He said, I can't take you to Comic Relief. Comic Relief's for people like you. Yes. But anyway, did the first one there. Before we get, I'm going to turn things over to Noelle. Do you mind? Because she has been sitting there doing a great job for our show. We didn't get a chance to do Noelle's World.
Yeah.
Did actually left casting call off. So I should tell the people a couple. can we get another good morning? Just for the hell of it. Yeah.
Good morning.
Hey, yeah.
Tell the people about the work, Greg.
Yeah.
All right. Let me tell you about, and this is one of those, again, we talk about the film industry and they need what they need when they need it. And it is all aspects of life. We've had this need on there before. It's just been a while. But casting TaylorMade's doing Stranger Things, one of the most popular shows on TV. And this week, Heather is looking for a male amputee. You look at the breakdown there, any ethnicity, 18 to 40 years old. So, again, that's the first one, a male amputee. His and Hers, this is a show on Netflix. Hilton Casting is doing it. They need everything from an Asian female photo double to other types of photo doubles for one of the characters on the show. And then Hilton Casting is also doing P-Valley. So you'll see those two needs. P-Valley, there is a big rodeo scene being shot. So they need people to play rodeo patrons. They need cowboys. And this must have something to do with the Buffalo Soldiers, I have this feeling, because they need black cowboys and black cowgirls. Right? Okay. So it might be a Buffalo Soldiers shoot. Rodeo security, rodeo clowns, rodeo staff, rodeo announcers. This is all you'll see under Hilton Casting. Destination Casting doing R&B. Lead club patrons, need hospital staff, and Rose Lock has a couple stand-in opportunities. This is for a show called I Love Boosters, but it's just ILB. Stand-in, 1, 2, 3 stand-in opportunities, and stand-ins make a lot more than others. And then folks for a fashion show. So those jobs and more are there in front of the camera and behind the camera. You got any needs, greg.clarksonodyssey.com. And, of course, the list is up right now on Get Cast with Greg on X. /Twitter.
All right.
Noelle, good morning.
All right, we're back.
All right, so I wanted to get the casting call out of the way there real quick. I should give an insignificant information having to do with show business, but I can't think of one right now. So, again, I'm just going to turn things over to Noelle.
Well, all right. Well, first, I want to say, how about an amazing sports week in the city, right?
Yeah.
I mean, you know, the Braves had to bow out, but just getting there was amazing. You know, we all knew that we were going to get bounced sooner than not. But Michael Harris put up a fight, though. Shout out to Michael Harris.
Yeah, he has.
I thought we was about to have the Michael Harris game.
Sam called when we talked earlier in this week or before that last game. He said if these guys pull this out, it's going to be all on Michael Harris. He called it.
Mike tried to do it out, but Mike knew something when he put that Falcons helmet on when they were
hanging out
with Blooper because the boys showed out. I got the in-person for the Saints and at-home experience for the Buccaneers because I thought I was going to do some homework. I ain't doing no homework. We went into overtime. I ain't doing no homework. It's a back-and-forth shootout. What homework? So that was amazing to watch. Shout-out to my sister. She gave them a moral victory. With 90 seconds left on the clock. Man, they fought real hard. I feel real good about the rest of the way. What just happened? Cadarell Hodge?
Yeah,
so that's how that went in my house. Shout out to Cadarell. Shout out to Red.
Yeah, and ran away from everybody. But the
Lab and the Rec from Prairie View.
The two of you, I asked, because we've been doing it all morning long on the college level, talking about how Georgia came back. You can't have your heart ripped out any more than what the refs did to the Falcons against the Chiefs.
And I was there for that. We were sick.
And so how did you see this team? You were at the game when they came back against Tampa Bay.
I was on the couch for that one, but still, that was amazing. Being able to come. See, my rule in football when it comes to quarterbacks is you should be able to overcome one interception, right? Now, the caveat to that rule is within, you know, before the last 2 minutes of the game, right?
Right.
So, Kirk Cousins put us in a wild situation and cool. You know, he had two situations where you had, you know, you missed a kick, you blocked the kick, you threw an interception at the worst possible moment, only to be able to be set up for a comeback for both players. For Darnell Mooney, too, because he dropped a wide-open touchdown, but he came back and did what he needed to be done. So,
And I appreciate you keeping going here because actually I left out the Saints because I misspoke. But I was talking about how they have come back from that over these last two games. That's what I should have thrown in there. So continue.
Oh, well, you know, during the New Orleans game, Younghoe Koo just proved why he's on the cups and the billboards and all the advertisement and promotion here in Atlanta because, I mean, six makes seven in Atlanta.
Yeah, but he had a couple of hiccups.
He
in that
did.
Game,
you, you,
right?
You missed two. You wasn't expecting to miss, but you know, but that's the next game though. You missed two. You wasn't expecting
right.
to miss.
Get off the cup
in Tampa, which is you know probably a good humbling moment. Don't get too high on yourself. You can miss kicks. So you know, you missed the first flag, missed it again. Had one that was blocked. That was weird. But when you needed it. When his team needed the catch from Darnell Mooney, when they needed the kick from Koo, when they needed the perfect pass from Cousins, it all came together. Now, that fix, we got to work on that tackling. Even Coach Kirby Smart called out the Falcons tackling. He called out the NFL's tackling, but he used the Falcons as an example, and I don't like that. So we got to work on the tackling.
Well, why don't you like that? Because that means it's visible to everybody.
Yes, it is.
And if Kirby says it, that means the players heard it, and, you know, their problem
is. Oh, no. I'm saying that I don't like the fact that you're the example of bad tackling.
Oh, gotcha.
That's
okay.
What I don't like. Yeah, well, so clean it up.
It's all over the league.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. He was just using the Falcons as an example.
You don't do it in practice.
Yeah, exactly.
You don't tackle in practice.
So, and you know,
you
they were
Sunday
bad.
Do something you don't practice.
It's won't talk about rebounding.
I suppose, but I mean.
No, it's won't to. You got to stick your head in there and take your bumps.
Who wants to stick their head in there?
The people who play this game who got drafted and are making all this money, they know what the NFL is all about.
Yeah, so sometimes you got to do more than drop that shoulder. Sometimes you
got
to wrap up.
Yeah, and you've got coaches right now talking out loud, talking about players making business decisions.
Right.
So
to those boys, shout out to the Hawks. Media Day. Media Day is the best day in the world to me. I don't care whose Media Day it is. Media Day is all funs, all smiles, and no frowns. I love Media Day. Media Day looked amazing. Got to see all the great stuff in person. Terrell was there. Got to see all the great stuff in person. I'm sure Caleb was there. Caleb was asking the important questions about the shoes.
Yeah, but
whoa. Don't gloss over that. Terrell's daughter was
no,
asked.
No.
Caleb.
Sayla.
I thought you said Sayla.
Okay, sorry.
Yeah, I was asking the important questions about the shoes. So, Hawks had a great media day. We got some games coming around the corner. I've already seen them on the schedule.
Got Indiana coming up here this week.
Yeah, so the Hawks and the Falcons have an opportunity to do something that we have not seen in this calendar year, in this calendar sports year for Atlanta. We have seen teams shake dice to slide underneath the door to get into the playoffs and then immediately boot it up out of there. So, the Falcons and Hawks with the season. Y'all season's just starting. Y'all have an opportunity to solidify a playoff spot and then try to go make some noise. Speaking of a team that tried to slide into the door, Atlanta United, we see you. Also, the Dream made a move this week. They have let go of Coach Tanisha Wright.
Yeah.
I'm running through headlines.
Okay, go ahead.
was that a surprise?
No.
No.
In my opinion, no. When we saw the first two coaches get fired in the WNBA, I was actually kind of surprised that Tanisha was not a part of that group. And not because I don't think that she did a fantastic job. A lot of picks to go get Ryan Howard. They gave up a lot of picks and a lot of assets to bring in Jordan Canada and some other things. And you were barely able to get injuries or not. So that's not what you're looking for when you give up a bunch of picks and you try to build a more veteran team. You're not looking to barely slide underneath the door and looking at what some of those picks became and could potentially become. You gave up a lot to make that happen, and you didn't really succeed in the areas you wanted to succeed in. So I'm not surprised they're going to go a new direction.
You feel like that there's less patience now because of the light that has been shined on the league.
Also, that's sports. The money come in, the patience go out the door.
And my thing is, as you talk about these coaches that are being shown the door. There's a lot of transition going on right now within this league. With the bright spotlight that Sam's talking about, with the new contract that's around the corner, and the new money that's going to be available, my thing is this. We know about it, what's going on in the men's. We're all being introduced to what's going on the women's side now. And my question to you is there that many talented coaches off on the side ready to fill these jobs? Or are we going to see a whole bunch of college coaches step up because the lifeblood, as you like to say, of the WNBA moving forward is going to be young players. And them coming from college, maybe some of them coaches are ready to make the jump to the WNBA. That's my question.
They might be having to take a pay cut. You're ones who are at the top of college, they'll be taking pay cut.
And so, Greg, that's a very interesting question because it's the same question that I've been kind of digging into to see what teams are looking for.
Mm-hmm.
With dismissing the coaches that they have, because with the Sky and the Spark having a younger team, that to me was more surprising than maybe us moving on from Tanisha Wright. That an older team, you didn't really accomplish what you were looking for. But I have the same question as you, Greg. What are we looking for overall in the new version of the WNBA, right? Because we're crafting this new version of the W and what it's about to look like, right? Like, they just went from single round elimination in the first round to best two out of three. They're right now, the playoffs is 2-1. You know, the big team gets the two games, and then if you make it past that, you go to the one. I feel like if I'm a part of the ownership, I'm fighting for a 1-1-1 because I want to see some playoff money. I want to hear some playoff noise in my building, and I want to sell some playoff hot dogs. So I feel like that's going to become a conversation in the new WNBA.
Would this attract NBA players? I'm thinking about the Detroit team that was coached by Laimbeer and Rick Mahorn.
Maybe.
Would you have something like, you know, would that attract? And my thing is this, you know, yeah, with the spotlight on it, there's some coaches who are women coaches who are looking for this opportunity too. And right now the league doesn't need that for the attention. Right now the product is getting the attention. So I'm just saying, do you still feel like, you know, as someone who's played in the NBA, maybe done some coaching, want to be a part of what they see with the WNBA and be received?
I don't know that it's that as much as it is about the players. All right, what have we been hearing this season more than any others because of the dynamic of the two young players that have brought the spotlight with them? There's been other young players, but talking about Caitlin and Angel. Okay, so if you go back to that jump-off point, you as an owner or a coach, you want a coach that top player feels comfortable with, correct?
Yeah.
And we've seen this in the NBA, and it's been done in an unconventional way. My point is that Indiana and Chicago want to keep their two stars happy. Well, I'll draw a correlation between what the Lakers did. They had an established coach when Magic came in there. And even that first year, they won the championship. But Magic didn't see growth Paul West then. What did they do? They went and got the announcer.
Yeah.
And he became the announcer.
He went became from the announcer to the assistant coach.
Assistant
to the
coach,
coach
to the head coach because he felt comfortable and he saw the talent in that young player. Somebody's going to have to take a chance on somebody who's going to be next in the coaching world for these young players coming up in the WNBA. And when that happens, that'll be the blueprint for others moving forward. I absolutely believe it's a copycat league.
Well, I'll bring this up before we get out of here. Greg, you're 100% right, which is why I have the question mark about the Sky and their decision, because the Sky absolutely adored Teaspoon and wanted to come up under Teaspoon and made that very clear before and after the firing. So that's why that left a huge question mark to me, in my opinion, on what the Sky are looking for. That was the first person. Like, we've seen Kennedy, Carter, and other places. This was the first place, in my opinion, that Kennedy felt comfortable to really be herself and had a coach that knew how to let her be herself but also rein her in a bit so where she doesn't get too outside of herself in the game, along with the Camila Condoza, who was having to grow her confidence in being a center and a rebounder. They all seem to flourish underneath Teresa Witherspoon, which is why that firing to me was so shocking.
Let's talk about the head of the beast here, too, by the way. We're talking about coaches. Who do you see – or you don't may not have a name, but how long do you think that it's going to take for them to change commissioners?
This season and next season is going to give us a better clue because
but
it's
you
not
see it
just
changing sometime soon.
Yes, because you got to be able to handle the money, you got to be able to handle these personalities, and you have to be able to handle what the WNBA is as a league. They want to be still a league with a social conscious voice, and you have to balance all of that with the money. So how do you do that, and do you have the right commissioner for that?
Yeah.
That's all I'm moving forward. Yeah. That's around the corner.
Crucial time. We got a little more we're going to
we
do.
We got a little bit more time, yeah.
All right.
We got extra credit.
Got to tell people who all set up for NASCAR, who's going to be on the pole at Talladega. And we got, you know, our homegirl just picked up a big old check over in China.
So
next time she's in town, y'all need to hit her up and make her take you to This Is It or somewhere. That's like her favorite place when she grew up here.
Take me to Freeman's.
We're going to talk about that in just a minute.
We're the opening act for a full day of NFL action coming up at, 9:15, Jets and Minnesota in London. We got Baltimore, Cincinnati after that, Green Bay and L.A., and tonight's Dallas at Pittsburgh game, if you can get in front of a TV. It is Sam and Greg with a few extra minutes on this Sunday morning. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com. Noel said, this is the most 80s piece of music ever. And she's right.
Think so.
There you go. Well, she thinks so.
Yeah, 80s.
Come on, Noel. She says this
is nothing but a Casio and a Lin beat machine. Like this.
We can't hear you. Say it again.
I said it's nothing but a Casio synthesizer and a Lin beat machine.
Yep.
This is like a time capsule of sound.
Yeah, she's right. She's right.
Takes me right to 84.
Wow. Perfect timing, too. Sam and Greg, Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com. As we sit here on this Sunday morning, the sixth day of October, good morning, Georgia!
Morning!
And a good morning to all y'all in Lost Mountain.
Lost Mountain.
I didn't have anything written down, so I just had to grab a place off the top of my head. But we played that. For those of you wondering when we're going to go to the game, we'll go to it at 9:15, Jets and Minnesota. But we started the show talking about, you know, some of the people that we lost this past week. We lost a number of people, very visible people, if you put it that way, in a way like we haven't seen since the pandemic. And so, obviously, starting off with Dikembe Mutombo, Pete Rose, John Amos, Chris Kristofferson, Maggie Smith is one of those that sleeps on people. They're not a person on this list or anybody we've talked to and talked about in a while that has an IMDb page like hers.
Yep.
Maggie Smith been getting it done for
extensive. Yep.
And you heard the sound from Beverly Hills Cop. Played that for John Astin, who was Taggart in Beverly Hills Cop. Looked like, he said, the second one, he said, you look like Gerald Ford. He came downstairs and said, hey, Sharp. Anyway, one or two. Something I was going to say having to do with that, and I forgot what it was. But anyway, rest in peace, all those folks. And I said, to me, of those people I named, is Dikembe the one that will stay with you the most, or is it Pete Rose?
It's Dikembe. And if you hadn't gone to my social media, and you go to Twitter.
Yeah, I saw that. Nice.
At Sam Crenshaw 23, and I posted a couple of pictures from the last time that an event that Greg and I were at, and he was there, my last encounter with him, doing something to serve some other folks.
And I do not say this with any disrespect, because I think they embraced it as much as anybody, but as long as there is Sesame Street,
yeah,
Dikembe Mutombo will be loved because he is Cookie Monster in the minds of a lot of people. I know he's not literally Cookie Monster,
no,
but parents will always remind them, there was a basketball player who sounded just like him, little Johnny, and then I'll go find a Dikembe sound.
There we go.
I got
some stuff. We talk
about
our
home. I got some stuff, too, but go ahead.
Our homegirl just picked up a check all the way over in China. Coco Gauff wins the China Open. This is one of the rare events where the you have some like your major events, your U.S. Open and Wimbledon, where they pay the same for the men's winner and the women's winner. This is an event where the women's winner gets more than the men's winner. The men's winner's first prize check is like $695,750. The women's winner is $1,100,000. That's the check that she just picked up. $1,100,000 all the way over in China. But congratulations. Shout out to Coco Gauff.
Well, you know what was interesting about that?
Is that?
After the match was done, I was watching. Didn't recognize a person in her team.
Yeah.
Because remember, she got rid of Brad Gilbert. All them folks that you saw at Wimbledon, U.S. Open, they're gone.
They're going to try something different. And really, if it pays off with her getting some consistency with her serve, it's been a big thing for her to be built the way she is. That serve should be a weapon for her. And it was something that just seemed like she had, doubts whether or not I'm supposed to get this thing, whether or not it's supposed to be, just the way she uses it and processes it. And so, she has the physical gifts and the tools. It's just, holding things together upstairs and just going out and letting it rip, go out and hitting it like you're supposed to, talented to do. Go ahead.
Well, mine's kind of insignificant, so.
Oh, I got a couple other things. NASCAR, they're going to fire the engines down the road at Talladega. Matter of fact, if you're going west on I-20, you need to get a move on because that.
You should have been halfway there by now.
Race starts at 2 o'clock, but the traffic and the line right about when you get along Oxford to Talladega, right in that area right there, that's going to get kind of crowded. It's going to be kind of bumper to bumper if you're going in that direction this morning. So that's something to watch out for. On the pole over there is Michael McDowell. Matter of fact, Front Row Motorsports and Penske are the teams that are up front. The Fords are up front for this race starting out. McDowell has the pole for Front Row Motorsports in 34 car. Number two car, Austin Cindric from Penske, is outside of row one. Todd Gilliland and Kyle Busch have row two. Ryan Blaney your defending Cup Series champion, is the fifth fastest qualifier, Joey Logano. Those are your first three rows. So Team Penske, very present at the front of the race so that it gets started at 2 o'clock our time. Something else I didn't mention earlier when we were talking local and talking HBCUs, Band of the Year, the first rankings are out. Once we get to October, the first rankings come out. Of course, is the final competition will be held the day before the evening before the Celebration Bowl.
Yeah. And you get a trophy.
It's going to be December 13th. You saw that trophy last.
I saw the trophy.
It's a sweet trophy they got. You get one. You got the Division I and Division II. So your Division I of the Band of the Year right now is North Carolina A&T. They were last year. They're number one. Then comes Southern. Then comes Norfolk State. Jackson State is fourth, and Bethune-Cookman is fifth. Florida A&M is sixth. Some people, oh, where's FAMU? FAMU is sixth. They were here. Shout out to Florida A&M's band. They were here last Sunday, and they performed halftime of the Falcons game. Division two, you have Miles. Hey, no Miles, no me. That's very true. That was my parents.
True.
Where my parents met.
Yeah.
why are you laughing?
Because you glossed over a very, very, you know, nice event. Talking about, you know, that's where your parents met. You just went, no, me.
No,
you know, you can't
me.
Say it like that.
That's true. No, Miles.
It is true, but it's what you true. Should say it where your parents
one,
met.
One for Miles College. I would not
that's
be
where my mom
right
and daddy
now.
Met. That's they, how you they, should they, say they, it, they with met. Reverence.
Very much. I okay. do say it with reverence. With
you
said,
wait, miss, what, me?
No, Miles, no, me. They're number one right now. Florida Memorial is two. Virginia State, Winston-Salem State, and Tuskegee are your top five. They have Morehouse at 10. So that's for the Band of the Year. You can go to their website and you can vote. You can see some of the performances they will have there, and you can vote for who you think the Band of the Year should be and who should make it to Atlanta for the final competition.
All right. I was waiting for you to finish it. Like I said, I was thinking about our guest too, Mike
McMacken.
McMacken.
Mm-hmm.
And want to thank him for coming out. His new book, once again, is Gridiron Journeys. But every once in a while, we get a guest to come on here and start doing stuff in the house when they're talking to us. It was like he was cleaning out the garage.
No, that was Russell.
Oh, was that Russell?
That was Russell.
I'm sorry, Mike. Russell.
Russell.
Oh, we can tell Russell.
Russell was doing like a Ralph Garman.
He wasn't. Of course, we did think of Ralph first.
I thought about that. When
I did. He wasn't in the bathroom, though.
No, but I'm just saying, stuff's going on in the background. And you know,
he was either sanding down his banister or cleaning out his garage. One of the two.
We're not sure. We're just glad to get Russell.
Yes, we are.
And it just so happened you brought it with a song that brought a very special story.
Wow.
Wasn't that something?
Yeah.
You know?
That's what I do.
So it was great.
That's what I do.
And he was willing to share that with us this morning. So great to have him on. Great to have Mike McMacken on with us as well.
And Miles.
And Miles, you know, today. So great. Great stuff.
I hate to do this.
Uh-oh.
But I need to pass this piece of information
Watch
on because
out.
I found this
Here
past
we go.
Week. A story I saw
mm-hmm.
Came out a few days ago, and there was a study conducted by Plush Care, PlushCare.
Mm-hmm.
Plush Care.
All right.
You a cheeseburger fan?
Yeah.
Noel, cheeseburger fan? Where's your go-to cheeseburger place? Because they put
Billy
the
Goat.
List. They put.
Why
damn,
are you laughing?
I can't believe you said Billy Goat. You know, today was the day they threw that dude out of the game.
Out of which game?
The Billy Goat, cheeseburger.
I know, right.
You pull that out of your, you know what? But that you didn't know that today was the day that the tavern owner, Billy Goat Sinus, or Sinus, something like that. He actually had a last name.
Okay.
He bought two tickets to Game 4 of the 1945 World Series. Cubs fan, big Cubs fan.
Right.
416. That was last time the Cubs were in there, and they threw him out.
Because he
brought his goat in.
Ah.
And that's what started the famous, he cast his famous goat curse on the Cubs in 1945. It happened on this day.
Wow.
They kicked him out of the stadium. Anyway, that's not why you called.
No, because I mentioned cheeseburger, and that's, you know.
They did a study on the 17 top unhealthiest cheeseburger chains.
You're going to spoil everybody's lunch.
I'm just trying to tell you, and I was surprised, but the one that you named ain't on there. Noel? We got 2 minutes. Okay.
Yeah, 2 minutes. We got whatever you go.
I'm just saying, you need to go check this list out. If you got a go-to place, chances are it's on here. They also do it with chicken sandwiches, too.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
And You need to go check it out. I ain't gonna put nobody's business out there. It's not there. Listen, I want to remind you, we got the opening act for a number of games here. Obviously, we're getting out of the way for the Jets in Minnesota, followed by Baltimore, Cincinnati, Green Bay at Rams, and tonight's Dallas at Pittsburgh games. I'll let you know tomorrow. I must have lost my ticket, but the morning shift and the steakhouse are going to be at Arthur Blank's Dream Speak Golf Tournament.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, I didn't get my ticket. Thank you, David. Appreciate the Burnett there. Yeah. And also, insignificant information on this day. Today was the day of the first World Series.
Very first one.
The first one. Reds and the White Sox. Today was the day that Cy Young retired. This is just an amazing stat to me. Cy Young retired after playing 906 games. Okay.
Whoa.
906 games. He won 511.
Wow.
Say that again.
Wow.
500. That's his record. 511 wins, and he only played 906. He shut it down today. So I want to say that. And Phil Niekro became the 18th player to get 300 wins on this day, and also became the oldest pitcher to throw a shutout at 46 years old.
Wow.
Did that. You knew Phil, didn't you?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. Nuxie, fantastic, man.
Noel, thank you for everything. We're getting on out of here. I know we got to go.
We got to go.
For all of your contributions, for everyone else,
good night,
enjoy
everybody.
It. We will talk to you next week. Thank you for letting us be a part of your Sunday morning. Sam and Greg, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and 92.9thegame.com. Take us with you in the Odyssey app.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy daybeds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's better over here.
AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free. All on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Payoff up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
Have you ever wondered what it's like to experience something paranormal, supernatural, or unexplainable? Join host Jack Wagner on the podcast Otherworld as he explores spine-chilling real stories shared by everyday people who have experienced something unexplainable. Listen each week for first-person testimony from people who have come face-to-face with something that can't just be explained away. Listen and follow Otherworld, an Odyssey podcast, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.